White, Richmond, Maine, September 3, 1875. Dear son Willie, we received your letters yesterday. Thank you for writing. You may be assured we were very glad to read them. Our tent is pitched in a beautiful grove near the stand. We arrive on the ground Friday morning about 8 o'clock. Our tent's company consists of your father, mother, your Aunt Mary Foss, and your cousins, Mary C. and Ellen B. You will be surprised that we were successful in meeting so many of our dear friends. We enjoy this meeting together and frequently find ourselves wishing that Willie and Edson and their good wives were present. I am pleased with my household, every one of them, and would love to introduce you to our relatives and friends in Maine. Some you have never met. I am of good courage, praise the Lord. We visited your Aunt Lizzie and had a very pleasant visit. It seemed like my girlhood days to go into the field and gather huckleberries. We went to Portland and then to Saco to visit your Aunt Harriet and your cousin Emma. We found them afflicted indeed. Your Aunt Harriet, we do not think, will live through the falling of the leaves. Her great care for her husband for several years has been the cause of this affliction. We parted with my dear sister, never expecting to meet again until the life-giver shall call the captives from their prison houses. We meet and part here with our loved ones. But within the golden gates, within the sapphire walls of the city whose builder and maker is God, there will be no such sad partings. Sickness will never enter there. I felt such strong desire to gather my sister in my arms and shield her from the anguish of physical prostration she endures daily. But Jesus loves her better than I can. I leave her in his tender arms of love. We made a flying visit to your Uncle Foss and found a hearty welcome from the family. Three accompanied us to the camp meeting and enjoy the camp and woods very much. The weather is excellent. There has been a spirit of freedom in the meetings. The testimonies borne seemed to be spirited, having the right ring. All seemed to feel the responsibility of a trust committed to them which they were not safe in neglecting or abusing. I do not know when I have seen a people who seemed to feel, as these people do, that they had no opportunities to neglect, no privileges to regard lightly. They must watch their own souls and also strengthen the hands of their brethren. Discouragement has fastened upon many souls during the past year, but we find nearly all holding fast the faith amid trial and discouragement, and the whisperings of Satan, "You had better give up." But how could they do this? What would they hold on to should they give up their present hope? We were enabled to point the doubting, trembling souls to the rock cleft for them. The Master has mansions prepared for them above. These heavenly attractions are of the highest value to them. We sought to get the eye upon the unseen, and this will tide them over many difficulties. Obstacles will never be entirely removed from the pathway of the just. When darkness gathers about their souls, if they are acquainted with prayer and intercede for God's grace, they will gain a new and rich experience in eternal things. They can, by faith, gain clearer views of the eternal weight of glory that the overcomers will receive. This will make their present conflicts and uncertainties small when compared with things unseen. By faith, they may say, "The Lord God Omnipotent reigneth." Revelation 19, verse 6. And with assurance and hope, strengthened by the strength of the Mighty One, their faces may be shining with the glory borrowed of heaven. The light is shining forth upon the fourth commandment. God is opening the understanding of many to see that they have been breaking the Lord's Sabbath. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Revelation 11, verse 19. Calling, as it were, the attention of the people to the law of God covered by the mercy seat. The angels are represented as all looking reverentially into the law. God has made us the repositories of his law. What a responsibility is ours to form characters in harmony with the law of God. We are drawing nearer and still nearer the solemn event of our Lord's appearing. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 3. Precious gifts have been entrusted to men. We may improve or abuse them. If we will wisely improve them, we may make those within the sphere of our influence better, and we will be enriching ourselves with moral power to be a light to others who are in darkness. The testimonies borne by individuals have been of a cheering character. This is the scene of your father's earlier labors. Quite a number refer to that time when they first heard the message of Christ's near coming from his lips. They were deeply interested, although they were but children. The impression has never left them, for they were then convicted and their hearts imbued by the Spirit of God which accompanied the message. Now they are in middle age and understand more fully the doctrine and have a more firm and rich experience in present truth. They speak of their hopes and faith with animated countenance, looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The message of the third angel, sounding in solemn warning, calls their minds to the sacred truths which once affected their hearts so sensibly. The Lord is good. He is very precious to his people. I close abruptly to get this in the office.